again, and welcome outside the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. This is the Podcast Daily for Thursday. That's Bill Landis, Jeremy Birmingham, and I am Austin Ward. And guess what time it is?
Time to freeze our butts off.
Oh. Well, you and I had coats.
Yeah, we sure did.
But in solidarity with our favorite weatherman, who didn't bring one of his own.
It's actually quite beautiful out here. I mean, that sun, it's beating down on us. It is cold, but we're men. We can handle a touch of temps.
I'm not scared of temps. I embrace them. I was going to say stonk watch.
Stonks.
Or stonk watch.
So is this our first spring stonk watch, or is it our final winter stonk watch?
Ooh. Both.
Both.
How about both? You know how we make up the rules? You can do it however you want, Berm. But Bill had the idea, and I think it was a great one, to think about some of the names that we heard from Ohio State's full coaching staff media availability and what that may mean going into March and April. And I'm going to guess Bill is going to kick us off with Tegra Tshibola.
I mean, I can. It was a different. It was a different offensive lineman.
Oh, I had, say Josh Fryer.
I had it. No, I was going to say Carson Hinsman.
What?
Oh, they're all for the same.
Wow.
Reason.
We should just stop trying to predict things.
Yeah.
On this show.
I mean, offensive lineman. You're about there. It's almost a bullseye. but yeah, I mean, for all the same reasons, probably you could pick any one of those three guys. I just was not like considering Carson Hinsman very much in the conversation to figure out who's going to replace Luke Whippler. And part of that maybe is because I wasn't quite sure where Carson kind of fit in positionally, but also. Last year, he kind of struck me as a guy who had to pack on quite a bit of weight before he'd be ready to play for Ohio State, but it sounds like he's making progress in that way. I'm by no means coming away from the conversation with Justin Fry and Ryan Day on Wednesday thinking like Carson's the first team center when they start spring practice. I think it's probably Victor Cutler, if I had to guess right now, but I think Carson is squarely in that conversation, and we've just not talked a lot about that class in general. We've talked about who can step up in the starting positions. Tegra is one of those guys for sure, but Carson Hinsman should probably be talked about in a similar way.
Now, he may be in that conversation more because Jacob James is
Yeah, that's part of it. I think Jacob James is not going to be available for the spring, but either way, like you need probably three or four guys you feel good about just simply snapping the ball. Even Justin Fry talked about like Enoch Vavahi is going to work on doing some of that just so they can have somebody in an emergency capacity. But at the very least, it was a little bit of clarity on how they view Carson Hinsman long term. So even if it's not truly competing for the starting spot this year, I think he is probably your center of the future.
And I mean, he did do a good job in the last year of putting out weight. He's up to almost 300 pounds when he came in here and like 270. So it has been it's a name people should probably talk about more. But Tshibola is another guy the same way. I'm going to talk about someone that we've talked about a lot and I wasn't expecting to talk about, which is Josh Proctor. Really did get a sense from talking to Perry Eliano today that he was surprised that Proctor came back, but has seen a different level of, not maturity, I don't want to say, but a different buy-in, I guess, into what this year and this process really does mean for him and what it can mean for him moving forward. Josh is not a guy who I think has a natural spot penciled in, but when you think about everything he had to go through to get ready for the 2022 season and had to deal with changes of a defensive philosophy and all the other things that come with a brand new defensive coaching staff, I think maybe he was sort of lost in the wash last year.
And a broken leg.
And a broken leg, right, that he had to deal with the year before. Got sort of lost in the wash a little bit, and I think he's a guy that we can't just forget about as Ohio State moves forward. I'm thinking in my head, I was talking to Perry Eliano about like a safety lineup of Josh Proctor, Kai Stokes, and Sonny Styles on the field at the same time. And I'm like, that's about as athletic and freaky a group of safeties as you could ever put on the field at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I know there's so many guys in that position room, but I think Josh is still someone that needs to be remembered that there is a role for him here. He was the starting safety for Ohio State in week one of the season. Now, lost his job relatively quickly. Latham Ransom played very well the first 10 weeks, 10, 11 weeks of the year, so he can't really complain about it, but you have an opportunity to take it back.
Yeah, and if you look through, like, outside of Ohio State's weight room at the guys who test the best among the defensive backs, like Josh Proctor's name is all over that board. We've talked about his physical skills for years, and that part is obvious. But, you know, maybe a second year with Perry Eliano and working in Jim Knowles in that system, maybe that'll help. Maturity is a good word for it as well, though, Byrne, because Josh Proctor would be the first to admit how far he's come since the day he arrived. And he never would have imagined 5 years, let alone six, at Ohio State. So I think that is fitting for him. Another safety that I didn't think was going to be talked about that much, and Jim Knowles did directly, and sort of Bill and I looked at each other and like, why isn't Berm standing over here? He's like, Jim Knowles, Cameron Martinez, has not had a chance to really be healthy or find a spot or play it consistently. It's like, I really like him when he's out there and has an opportunity to show what he can do physically. I don't know what that means. He's going to be sort of dueling with Jahad Carter, I imagine, in spring ball at the nickel spot. And, you know, Cameron Martinez has been up and down and consistent a little bit when on the field, I think for good reason. It's not an indictment of him when he's had to play multiple spots, when he's had to work through several different injuries, including a high ankle sprain right in the middle of the year when it seemed like he might be in line for more opportunities, and then it never really happened for him again. Then he was thrust into a situation that he wasn't perhaps ready for, or wasn't an ideal call, or breakdowns elsewhere. I don't know. There's probably multiple reasons for what happened on that specific play against Michigan, but this is a very critical spring for Cameron Martinez.
You mentioned Jim Knoll said he likes what he does physically, and that's really never been the question for Cam. It's about confidence. It's about getting out there and knowing that you belong out there. There's obviously going to be that voice in the back of your mind saying, oh, why does Jahad Carter need to be here? This is Ohio State, and you're going to be competing against really good players every position. Doesn't matter if it's a guy brought in the transfer portal or a guy that comes in the recruiting class. There's going to be dudes around you, and you have to take advantage of it. This is now year four in the program, believe it or not. That's crazy to think about. But he's still a guy that's only played defensive back really for two seasons. I don't really count the 2020 year when it's COVID and he's not really sure what he's doing. So he's only played the position for 2 years and hasn't had an opportunity to really take it. This is the spring to take it. This is your job if you can keep it. So go out there and win it. And a lot of that, though, is just mental confidence and knowing that you belong there.
You said it's crazy that it's been 4 years, like in the way that people talk about watching their loved ones grow up.
It is crazy.
Like campus. Soon you're going to be sending them off into the world.
Wow. I mean, I met Cam in 2016, and that's 7 years ago. Like, this is a long time. Nuts. But he certainly, athletically, does all the right things. Physically, he's a guy who's always there working. He's always impressed the coaches. But it is different when you step between the white lines and the clock is running. You got to be able to make plays. And that, as you said, last year, a little inconsistency, then he got hurt. And then the confidence goes away because you get beat on a big play. That play against Michigan did not lose Ohio State the football game. So take that out of your mind and start moving forward.
Larry Johnson talked about quite a few of the younger defensive linemen on Wednesday. The one I thought was most interesting maybe was Hero Kanu. We've talked about him in the past on the daily. Like, not many guys have come through here that are quite that size. He's like 6'4", 6'5". He is 305 pounds. Larry said that. He came in at about 330, and he shed some of that weight that they were looking for him to shed. And now it's about, like, putting that sort of powerfully built frame and strength sort of on display, I think, in the spring to solidify yourself, frankly, as what I think can be the guy who's the fourth defensive tackle for this group. They need one. You really only have three. And if you look at the candidates to be the fourth, there aren't that many. It's like, it's kind of like Hero Kanu's job to lose, I think. It's not a job that we talk about a whole lot because it's not a top of the scouting report kind of thing, or a job that gets a lot of headlines, but it is important for Ohio State's defensive line depth, and it does sound like at least a Hero Kanu is making the progress that Larry Johnson wants him to see. This is another big winter for him, obviously, to continue to do that, but he, I think, is a guy that can make a little bit of noise in the spring just because he's kind of a rare combination of size and skill and athleticism.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned Josh Fryer earlier. I think that's kind of the next one. You know he's a starter, and you just don't know where exactly. I think the fact that Ohio State talked about on Wednesday the idea that maybe he could be the left tackle speaks to how they view him athletically and his ability, his upside. Josh has done all the right things for the last, I mean, again, this is his fourth year in the program, right? So there's been a lot of growing. Justin Fry was talking about it on Wednesday, that it's cool to watch offensive linemen as they get in here and learn over a couple of years, because it is not a position where guys should come in and be expected to play as freshmen. Josh, as I mentioned on Snap Judgments on Wednesday, looks a little bigger, looks a little leaner. I think he's ready to play left tackle, and I think that changes a lot of what Ohio State can do with the rest of their offensive line. Ryan Day was kind of hinting around that we're going to try some things. We're not going to talk about it yet. Like, I don't know what that means.
But then he did kind of talk about
it.
Yeah.
But, you know, does that mean a guy like Tegger Shibola, who maybe is a more natural fit at right tackle, has an opportunity to fight for that job with Zen Mahalski? Are they just going to let him go out there? And there's a lot of ways that this works out, but Josh Fryer is going to be a starter, and he's absolutely deserved it. He was one of the best six last year, probably the year before if he didn't get hurt. So I think you just got to be, you know, grateful that you have a guy that's stuck it out as long as he has and done things, you know, fought through some injuries of his own, and now he's got a chance to be a starting left tackle or right tackle at Ohio State. And that's big money in the future.
I started talking about the way that Joe Royer was coming on late in the season, physically, you know, around the week of the game and heading into Peach Bowl practice, where he was turning heads again the same way that he did really a year ago at this time, February and March, with workouts. And again, I don't mean to beat that drum over and over, but you know, the on and off field combination of physical and mental health, you know, adversity that was thrown his way was pretty ridiculous and tough for anybody at any age to handle. And the way that Joe Royer started coming through that at the end of last season, I think was really encouraging for Ohio State and certainly for Keenan Bailey as he takes control of that unit. I know, and I asked about it several times today.
Today's Thursday.
Yeah, I can't keep my day straight. You know, I thought it felt like a Woody Wednesday, but I don't know. whatever day it is, I talked to Keenan Bailey about it, and I sort of knew how he views Joe Royer and his ceiling, but to see how that's coming and progressing in January and into February, what this spring camp could look like for him. I think the tandem of him and Cade Stover can really be elite for Ohio State and open up a lot of options for Ryan Day and new offensive coordinator Brian Hartline to how they want to shape that offense. You tracked that from a couple years ago with the amount of times that there were two tight end sets involved and,
yep.
and what, you know, when Jeremy Rucker and Luke Farrell were really doing it about a third of the time, roughly.
Yeah.
Like, I think Ohio State can get to that point with the offense. You know, again, some of it depends on how many wide receivers you want involved. And we'll see how the young guys come along in March and April at that position. You know, what you want to do with the running game, how all those pieces fit together. But you can build with those two. You still have G. Scott in the building coming along and a couple other younger guys who are probably more traditional blockers and not going to be as useful in the passing game as those two can be. But I like what they have to work with at tight end. I think that can be a position of strength. And I think that if we talked about all last year in February, March, and April, Joe Royer's going to be a starter. He's on the Ruckert plan. That conversation should probably start ramping up again.
I think it's a position group to be excited about for sure, but it's a one that I think is going to be really important for all the reasons you said too. Like, new quarterback, how much do you want to max protect when you have two new offensive tackles? I think we didn't get into a bunch with Justin Fry about what the run game might look like next year with him as coordinator, but I can see the tight ends being more involved in that capacity. Just anything to make life, you know, slightly easier on whoever the new quarterback is, and I think the tight ends are a major, major part of that. Talking with Tony Alford about sort of the makeup of that running back room more than anything. Got some clarity, like Chip Tranum is staying there. We assume that Xavier Johnson is going to be with the receivers for now, but he's always an emergency option at that position. The way he talked about Dallin Hayden, I found very interesting. One, because he's going to be in a position this spring, I think, to get a lot of touches because Trayvon Henderson is also going to be out. I can't imagine they're going to give Myron Williams much work, even though at the moment Ryan Day is saying or not listing him among the unavailable players. So Dallin's going to have a big opportunity, I think, to continue to climb the depth chart a little bit, continue to remind people why he deserves touches in this offense. Tony Alford talked with him. It's more about mental stuff, like preparing like you're going to be the guy sort of every day, even if you're not quite at the top of the depth chart, dealing with all the noise that comes with being the guy who plays that position. We know Trevion had to deal with that last year. So it's a lot of maturing for a guy in his second year mentally, but I think Dallin's in an interesting spot to take a step forward. And then also Evan Pryor, who's not going to be available this spring, but I did ask Tony, all the stuff you did with Xavier Johnson last year, can you do that with Evan? Like, is that the vision for Evan? And he just said simply, yes. Like, you got to get him healthy. He won't be available until the summer, but once he is, they're going to try to do some of that stuff with him.
Yeah, that's a precautionary hold out of spring. Like, a lot of these guys are, not in the case of Trevion, he's, you know, off surgery. Pryor, it's like, you don't need to just put him back out here on the turf and let something weird happen. So you just let him strengthen and strengthen. Similar situation with Tommy Eichenberg, who is going to miss the spring, not do a lot of contact stuff. That means it's a huge spring for CJ Hicks, because you're going to get an opportunity to show everyone in this coaching staff, including a new grad assistant coach, James Laurinaitis, like, this is who I can be. And for CJ, it's like, what does that future position look like? Is he a guy that's going to be in the middle? Is he a jack? Is he someone that just moves? Or with Tommy being out, this is an opportunity for him to step up. Obviously, Taraja Mitchell's gone. Paulie, I know Neo Teote is gone. Cody Simon's a will. This is your spot for the spring. So you need to show people that 6'4", 235-pound, 4'5", all the accolades, all of the measurables that you have, all that stuff's great. Now you got to show that you can lead the defense and make plays when it matters. And CJ's going to get a shot. So I'm excited. I know fans are sort of waiting for that kid to be on the field a lot, and he's going to get that opportunity.
We talked about this on the quarterback preview show and on the podcast daily on Wednesday with some of the questions coming in. And obviously we're going to read too many tea leaves into that battle. I think it was notable and worth a reminder that Kyle McCord came up. Ryan Day named him first because of the experience. That's significant. I talked to Corey Dennis about what's the difference. I think there's the perception, probably rightly, that they're very different players but between Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. He said, yeah, it's not quite night and day. Like, Devin has an arm that probably doesn't get enough attention because people focus on his mobility, and Kyle can move around a little bit more than he gets credit for. So I don't know that it has to be like as dramatic one or the other philosophical choice, although at the end of the day it almost certainly will be.
Yeah.
I think that it's worth pointing out Kyle McCord's background and his experience, because there is a tendency to move on to the next thing. And I'm not sure. I think, and I understand why.
Why isn't Kyle the next thing?
Yeah, like I understand how quickly it is and easy and tempting to move on. Like, Devin Brown is really talented too, and he is newer, and people haven't seen him do it, and that's why they really want to. I certainly get all that, but like, Kyle McCord, not that far removed from being that exact same person. And if the situation had worked out a little bit differently, or CJ had. His shoulder didn't heal the way that it did during his first year as a starter, you know, there'd be a bigger body of work for Kyle McCord. And I don't know whether that means anything in terms of excitement for him moving forward, because there's no way to know how it would have played out. But I think that his ceiling is still as high as it was once projected. I don't think that it's diminished over the last 2 years just because he wasn't playing as extensively as many people would have wanted him to.
How much did Ryan Day, sort of going out of his way to mention creativity at the quarterback position, like, get either of your antennas up a little bit? Yeah, me too. And it's probably, again, we're reading way too much into stuff at this time of year, but I was like, oh, that's something.
I don't know that that's necessarily anything more than sort of a, like, something he wants both of them to hear.
Yeah, it's not that Kyle can't do it.
It's not a situation like where he's saying, oh, look, this player has a reputation of being more of a playmaker. I think that is a sign of saying, this is something we expect. And I think it's because Ryan Day saw the difference in C.J. Stroud, as good as he was in his entire career. Ryan Day's philosophy of quarterback has to change a little bit, too, because he's the guy who said, Justin, don't run. C.J., don't run. And when you realize what happens when the quarterback just has a threat of it, it is a different game for defensive coaching staffs to prepare for. So I think it's just goes back to what Ryan was talking about on Wednesday with himself. He's putting a little bit of his ego aside, saying, am I doing everything as best as I can? And I think some of these philosophy changes have to start with him.
I was going to say it was perhaps just as much of a reminder for Ryan Day himself, all the points that you alluded to, because we started talking about this a little bit more as the season went on, when people were asking why CJ wasn't doing it more. And like Ryan Day never specifically said, I'm coaching these guys not to do it, but I've covered this program long enough to know that that's the way that they operate. And, you know, sometimes you're going to have to let some of that control go. Ryan Day trying to rein in his quarterbacks to keep them healthy affected the offense. I don't think that Kyle McCord is going to have any 60, 70-yard rushing days, and I don't think that he could have rattled off the 40-yard run against Georgia the way that C.J. Stroud could have. But, you know, Joe Burrow or Tom Brady don't have to necessarily run for 60 yards to be really effective at the next level. I can't sit here and say I know how good Kyle McCord is going to be at that. We think that Devin Brown is probably more naturally suited to do it. But until they actually get out and they do simulate some of those game experiences and let him run, or let Kyle McCord get in against Indiana, and you see what happens when real bullets are flying and you have to scramble and create, like, we don't know that part. And that's too early to make that evaluation.
Sure. Yeah, and it's not like there's more than one way to do it. I think Devin probably is more of a turn your back to the play, scramble around, crazy person kind of quarterback. But Kyle McCord's like 6'3", 220. He might be the guy's going to come hit me, I'm going to shake him off and take a step to my right. That's playmaking too. You don't have to run around and be Patrick Mahomes.
You also have to complete the pass when you do that. So you have to see that Devin Brown can complete the pass.
Sure.
It's cool to run around in circles and get loose, but if you then throw it 10 yards over a guy's head, it doesn't matter.
So, yeah.
You know, creating plays doesn't mean, just running around like a chicken with your head cut off. Like, you have to actually move the ball forward. So I think this quarterback competition is probably going to be the most interesting we've seen at Ohio, definitely the most interesting we've seen at Ohio State since 2015, and how things move forward.
Brought back some memories there.
It's going to be pretty wild. So we haven't seen anything like this in 8 years here. So
I sat when Corey Dennis sat down on Wednesday. I said, "Oh, you know, what do you learn about going through something like Joe and Dwayne?" He's like, "There was a pretty high-profile one in 2015 too. You might remember." I'm like, "Oh yeah," but I don't remember how involved you were with that one.
That was about as involved as the three of us.
Yeah, were. That was a much bigger circus, and I'm not sure that's going to get quite to that level with Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. But we're going to be talking about it a lot, and so we're going to be parsing all those comments. Expecting to see a handful of practices in March and April where we'll get a better idea for how that race is shaking out. And then we can talk about it on more stock watches on the podcast daily. Looking forward to doing so. With Bill and Berm, I'm Austin. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.